Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Over the past few decades, Brooklyn's Williamsburg neighborhood has earned a reputation as a haven for artists. But neighborhoods evolve. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today on the show, the role of real estate in creating and sustaining art-friendly neighborhoods. Plus, a live performance from the Danish pop group The Asteroids Galaxy Tour. But we begin with Monster Island. That's the name of a popular art space in Brooklyn's Williamsburg neighborhood. For 17 years, Monster Island hosted gallery and studio tenants, and it was a popular place for underground bands to play, even as high-rise apartment buildings grew up around it. Well, last week, Monster Island closed its doors for good after the building's landlord evicted those tenants. For many past and current Williamsburg residents, it's just the latest example of how a once edgy neighborhood has changed into something else. We'll hear in a moment about art-friendly neighborhoods in other cities like Detroit, but first, joining me in our New York studio is Jonathan Bowles. He's director of the Center for an Urban Future, which has studied how the arts and artists affect cities like New York. Jonathan, welcome.
Hello.
How do arts and artists affect cities like New York?
Well, I think, look at New York right now. The reason why New York is clicking on so many levels, even amidst this economic turmoil today, is that people want to come here. I think one of the reasons people want to come here, whether you're in finance or in law or any field, is that it's a creative city. And I think the arts is really at the foundation of that.
But a lot of people would say that the arts became a part of the creative engine and the cultural engine of New York through things like Monster Island, you know, places like this, cheap places that grow up in neighborhoods that have seen better times, where artists come in, they take over, you know, following the cheap housing. I mean, is that the way these cycles naturally begin?
Yeah, artists want to come here from all over the world, from all over the country, but they need cheap space. And, you know, whenever they seem to colonize or populate an area, develop a community, the prices go up. They end up getting priced out so often, and they end up moving on. The question is whether New York will continue to have those other neighborhoods where they can just move on.
Well, we've seen, you know, a kind of progression of what we used to call the downtown scene. It used to genuinely be in Lower Manhattan, downtown. It got pushed off the island entirely into Brooklyn, into Williamsburg. Now it seems that Williamsburg is done, and we're seeing artists move further into Brooklyn, places like Bushwick and things like that. It sounds like maybe you struck a little pessimistic note there, whether, you know, we can continue to find neighborhoods for artists here in New York.
You know, I think it's a bunch of things happening, because it's not just Bushwick and Williamsburg today. It's also the South Bronx and Red Hook, and even St. George on Staten Island and Sunset Park in Brooklyn. I don't think that the arts necessarily has to be in one place. It doesn't have to be in Manhattan. I think that artists have helped really improve a lot of neighborhoods around the city outside of Manhattan. I think the question and the pessimism is whether you run out of those neighborhoods.
Right.
And, you know, you hear stories all the time whether artists are in fact relocating to Berlin or the Hudson Valley or Philadelphia or maybe even Detroit.
Well, you know, it wasn't so long ago that people were referring to Philadelphia as the sixth borough. You know, for folks outside New York, five boroughs, but, you know, lots of artists moving to Philly, which is less than 2 hours away on the train. And, you know, so as commutes go, not an untenable one for creative types.
It's true. And you know, I've heard so many stories of artists leaving. We haven't found there to be an exodus of artists. I think that New York is still the place for emerging artists and creative people to come. I think what's different is that there's more competition for New York now. A lot of other cities have developed in this country. They have amenities for artists. There are communities of artists and creative people. And so New York has to be wary and cognizant of that.
We're speaking with Jonathan Bowles. He's director of the Center for an Urban Future. During a public conversation at Cooper Union in May of last year, New York City's godmother of punk, Patti Smith, was asked whether it's possible for artists to build the sort of communities in New York now like they used to back in the 60s and 70s. And here's what Patti Smith said.
In the 60s, New York City was down and out. It was a bankrupt city. You know, there was often garbage strikes. You could get an apartment for $60 a month in the East Village. You could, build a whole community of transvestites or a whole community of actors and poets and singers or a political community. It was much easier because we could get jobs and get a little apartment without a bathroom, but we were alive and we were together. And New York has closed itself off to the young and the struggling. But there's always other cities, Detroit, Poughkeepsie, Newark. You have to find the new place because New York City has been taken away from you.
Jonathan, do you agree with Patti Smith? Has New York City been basically taken off the table for young artists who are just getting started in music or the visual arts or poetry or what have you?
I don't know. I hear different things when I ask people about this, and I think that she's right in a lot of ways. There is this competition. People are going elsewhere, and it's harder and harder to find that affordable space here. But I see so many young emerging artists still coming to this city, and it's really the place to be. People want to be among people like themselves, mm-hmm. So that's why you still see artists coming here.
Well,
there's still a market
here. Patti Smith used the word community, a community of whatever, whether it's transvestites or poets or what have you. That word community is important.
But it's no doubt a lot more difficult. Not only is it more expensive to live in the city, but a lot of times people in the arts are finding they have to work more in that for-pay job just to be able to practice their art. It used to be they could maybe work maybe 25% of the time and the rest of the time devote to their art. It's almost reversed today because it's such an expensive
right.
city.
The bleep job, as as Patti Smith sort of put it there in that clip from Cooper Union in May of last year. Inspired by the 90s art scene of the Lower East Side, the musical Rent centers on the Lower East Side, the Alphabet City cast of artists and creative types. They're doing just what Jonathan said, struggling to pay their rent and keep this bohemian community, this neighborhood intact. And they describe that in Jonathan Larson's song, La Vie Bohème.
Going insane, going mad. To love attention, no pension, to more than one dimension. To starving for attention, hating convention, hating pretension. Not to mention, of course, hating dear old mom and dad. To riding your bike midday past the 3-piece suits, to fruits, to no absolutes, to absolute, to choice, to the village voice, to any passing fad, to being an us for once instead of a them. La vie bohème.
La vie bohème, the bohemian life. We don't hear a whole lot of bohemian life going on in even places like Williamsburg and Bushwick and places where we think the artists have moved to these days. Jonathan Bowles, director of the Center for an Urban Future, we're talking about real estate and the arts world. I mean, it's a cycle that we've seen, Jonathan, over and over again. New York City in the 70s, Berlin in the 90s. Is that what's happening in a city like Detroit now?
I think it's happening there. It's beginning to happen. I think Detroit has every opportunity just because it's wide open. There's cheap spaces all over. And it's the kind of situation where it's not just where one or two artists can go in there, but a whole community, a collective. And it's just kind of like a blank slate. And I think artists like that.
And with New York, with the cost of living, the cost of doing business in New York, is there any way, would you even want to begin that cycle again?
Well, New York's improved in a lot of ways, too. I think some people forget that.
I
think nobody really wants to go back to or few people want to go back to the 70s, the mid-70s, the situation the city was in. But I think we need to pay attention to this because the arts really are the foundation for so much of the city's economic growth. And I've heard so many business executives in creative fields that are really important to the city's future, especially with Wall Street kind of down and out. We need the arts because creative people come here because there's an arts scene, there's an arts community, and if we lost that, I think the city's economy would really be in jeopardy.
Listeners, how has the art scene affected your neighborhood, if at all? And if you're an artist, How has real estate affected your art and where you choose to perform your music or show your paintings or what have you? You can give us a call at our regular number, 212-433-WNYC. Our technical difficulties from yesterday are behind us. You can call the regular number, 212-433-9692. Or leave a comment on the soundcheck page, wnyc.org/soundcheck. So let's as we talk about this cycle, you know, when I was a kid, Williamsburg was kind of a sketchy place. And because of that, rents were cheap. Artists began moving in, what, maybe early 90s, mid-90s.
Right.
Sometime towards the late 90s, it suddenly catches fire. You know, it's like, Williamsburg. We heard that goofy song at the top of the show. You know, Williamsburg is the place to live. and then it becomes the place to live. And the rents go up. And the housing goes up. And the high-rises develop. And, you know, at what point do we have sound a death knell for any kind of vibrant artistic musical scene in a neighborhood like that?
Well, you know, I kept hearing that it was when the NYU students started to move in, you know, around the turn of the century. You know, I think a lot of artists saw the writing on the wall. You know, different retail was moving in that I think a lot of artists weren't excited about. For years, there was always the saga whether a Starbucks would come there, mm-hmm. and there was always posters and other protests against that. But I think artists want to be alternative. You know, they don't want to be part of the mainstream. They don't want to have, you know, the same thing you see in all sorts of other neighborhoods.
So this Monster Island venue that was shut down this past week, is that kind of emblematic of the end of an era in Williamsburg?
You know, I don't know, because look at the music scene in New York. I mean, in the last 20 years, we've seen such a shift, as you mentioned earlier, from just where the venues are, yeah. in Lower Manhattan, in the Village, out to Brooklyn. And I think that there's still this incredible scene there all over Brooklyn, concentrated in a few neighborhoods like Williamsburg. So I think that isn't ending. Rehearsal spaces have also moved out, mm-hmm. to Williamsburg, to Greenpoint, to Bushwick, even as they've closed in Manhattan. So I think the question is whether we've just seen kind of a geographic shift of the art scene in New York, or we're seeing the disappearance of it. And I'm not so sure we're seeing the disappearance of it.
Okay. Jonathan Bowles is director of the Center for an Urban Future. And joining us on the line is Sam Hilmer. He's frontman of the avant-garde band Z's. They were regulars at Monster Island, which closed last week. Sam, first of all, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hello.
Do you think the closing of Monster Island, you know, was that the beginning of an end somehow?
It's the definitive end of Monster Island being open. I don't think it's the end of the broader cultural thing that Monster Island is a part of at all.
But will it move?
Excuse me, I'm sorry. I don't think it's the end of the broader cultural thing that Monster Island is a part of.
Right, right. But the sort of the bigger community of artists, do you think that it will have to move out of Williamsburg? Are you guys, you know, looking at another neighborhood and another venue?
Well, I think that there's a lot of significance ascribed to the closing of this particular venue. In fact, there's more places to play in Williamsburg than ever before. Hmm. And I mean, 15 years ago, there was nothing in Williamsburg except a few restaurants and a few places to play. And now you can get your dog a perm in Williamsburg. So it sort of dilutes what's happening in that neighborhood. But in actual fact, the presence of artists and places to play in the neighborhood is still growing. It is still regarded as a destination. But I do think that all of the artists who are a part of that group recognize that there's a sea change in that area.
And Sam, where do you live?
I live in Bushwick.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, they've been calling the next Williamsburg for a couple of years now. What's going on in Bushwick?
Well, you know, I mean, Bushwick is Bushwick. It's a middle and lower class, working class neighborhood. And there are some arts venues and various other things kind of popping up around here. But, I mean, it's basically just a nice place to live with a variety of things to do, including arts.
Mm-hmm. And still affordable?
Yeah, I mean, Bushwick, I think, relatively speaking, is affordable. I mean, I think New York as a whole is becoming pretty unaffordable. You know, everything from milk to your apartment is sort of skyrocketing.
Right. So are you seeing an exodus of some of your musician friends out of New York entirely?
Well, no. I mean, in terms of, like, from a broader community point of view, no, I think for the last decade there's been a sort of slot of people arriving in New York to do the arts. And that's very different from what it was like in the 90s. I mean, the 90s, it was more static. Since the beginning of the 21st century, there's this kind of quality of, like, this is like a tour bus arrives every day with hundreds of new artists. I mean, that's how I experienced it.
All right. Well, Sam, thanks very much for sharing your experience with us. Sam Hilmer is frontman of the avant-garde band Z's. They were regulars at Monster Island until it was officially shut last week in the Brooklyn neighborhood of Williamsburg. And talking about, you know, artists coming in waves back in the 1990s, Sam was saying it seemed kind of static, and then like busloads of them in the new century. Maggie is on the line with us from Flushing. And Maggie, what was your experience of these kind of waves of artists coming to town?
Well, that's very, first of all, thank you for having me on your show. That's very interesting what Sam just said about the 90s, because I was at Performing Arts High School and then Juilliard at that time. And my friends and I, we were all commuting from Queens, from Staten Island, from Brooklyn. And our dream was to, you know, find an apartment, build a community in Manhattan, and, you know, flourish as artists. And by 1999, 2000, I mean, that dream was dead. It was no longer possible. I mean, the rents skyrocketed from you know, one year to the next. I mean, it was something incredible. It really was. It went from static to this crazy flow of people coming into the city that I think romanticized New York. I don't think they really understood what was going on in the city, and they had this image from TV shows, from movies, and they created a fake New York, a sort of New York from film, rather than New York that was here.
That dream you had of the Manhattan dream, you and your musician friends, artist friends had.
Manhattan dream.
where did you end up working?
Well, I ended up moving to Boston for a little while, and then Europe. I lived in London for about 4 or 5 years. And
oh, well,
then
there's an affordable city.
let's put it this way, on the outskirts of London, not quite in the center of London. And then moved back to Queens, the best I could do at this point in my life, just Queens. But even Queens, I mean, I live in Flushing, but if you go to Astoria or Forest Hills, I mean, it's also, I mean, the rents are also pretty intense over there.
Right, and when you get to places like Sunnyside, Long Island City, where there are loft spaces and still affordable housing, you find a number of musicians who've moved out there as well. Let's get a view from outside New York. Sarisa is with us from Asbury Park, New Jersey, Bruce Springsteen country. Sarisa, what else is going on there in Asbury Park?
Oh, well, we just got over a really great festival from the All Tomorrow's Parties promoters, and Shepherd Ferry was in town and did a lot of really great murals. We just had a really great time. I mean, as someone who's lived in Asbury since 2006, I mean, there have been artists who've been there long before I was there, but I really thoroughly just enjoy living and thriving in a community where there's so many people who care about one thing, and that's Asbury Park, and it's, you know, just getting along and really creating the most beautiful place. It's really amazing.
And so have you seen in the time that you've been there about 5 years now, right?
Yes.
And have you seen more of an arts community, more musicians moving in?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, a very vocal, a very visual community. You can see it. You can feel it. I mean, we have a new slogan, Asbury Park, where the music lives. And I think it should be Asbury Park, where the music and art live.
All right.
It really is amazing.
Sarisa, thanks very much for the view from across the Hudson. Jonathan Bowles, director of the Center for an Urban Future. What does the Center for an Urban Future sort of hope for, recommend in terms of a city like New York keeping hold of a vibrant artistic community that already has and maybe even expanding it?
Well, I think we need to make policymakers, the business community, the larger city, really aware how important the arts and artists are to the city's economic future. I mean, we live in this society, in this age now, where creativity is such a driver for economic growth. So we can't lose this critical foundation of the arts. I do think that part of what's happening here is just a geographic shift. Like, we used to have writers and authors living on the Upper West Side. They're now in Park Slope and Fort Greene. That's not such a bad thing. Mm-hmm. We used to have a lot of the theater community living around Hell's Kitchen, they've moved to places like Astoria. That's by itself is not such a bad thing. But I think when you get to the point where artists and creative people stop coming here in the first place, or when they end up moving to places like Berlin or Detroit in large numbers, I think you've got a problem. And that is a risk, because New York has more competition than ever before. And so we think that the city should be thinking forward. A lot of this has to happen organically, but there are things that the city can do. There should be some creative real estate projects. The city can really look at the downturn that we've seen in the real estate market to take advantage and create some permanent spaces for the arts.
Well, certainly that is something that the folks in Detroit are looking at. You mentioned Berlin and Detroit, and we'll actually look west to Detroit in just a moment. But we've been speaking with Jonathan Bowles. He's director of the Center for an Urban Future here in New York. Jonathan, thanks so much for being with us on Soundcheck today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
More from Patti Smith in the background. Up next, we continue our discussion about real estate and the arts with a look at one city's growing art scene, namely Detroit. And later, a live performance from the Danish alternative pop group known as the Asteroids Galaxy Tour.
Ich bin ein Berliner.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. We've been talking about the relationship between real estate and art, mostly here in New York, but certainly there are other cities being compared to the New York of a bygone era. One of them is Berlin, as in this song, everyone is moving to Berlin. Another is Detroit. And joining me now is Rebecca Matze. She is the former arts editor of the Detroit Metro Times and currently deputy director of the Museum of Contemporary Art Detroit. Rebecca, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thanks much.
So Detroit has been receiving a fair amount of attention for being like New York was back in the 70s, a place where, you know, a certain level of urban blight has set in and artists have come in to kind of fill the vacuum. At least that's how it sounds to us outside Detroit. What's your feeling there on the ground? How is it to kind of read statements like that?
I think a lot of people try to compare Detroit to other cities because it's easier to package that way. But it really is kind of a unique situation here. The truth is we've always had a really strong music scene that I think could be compared in some ways to New York. But in other ways, we're quite different. For instance, we don't really rent apartments. We purchase buildings. And so that makes for a very different landscape in terms of longevity as well.
And does that longevity translate into, you know, once musicians and visual artists come and settle in, that they're there for the long haul?
Yeah, I think that's still to be decided because we have had quite an influx recently in creative people moving to the city. And it seems to me that the ones that are coming from Europe seem to identify and understand the situation a little bit more easily than it seems the people coming from, say, the East or West Coast, who are expecting a different kind of cool American city, and it really has its own strengths and its own issues, and so there's been some back and forth as to whether or not it's been good for us, or you know, and how to deal with the changing population.
Rebecca, how intentional has Detroit been about, you know, trying to attract creative people? Is it an organic thing that people sort of sense that here's real estate I can afford where I can live? Or is the city actually kind of putting the word out, come here, we've got something for you?
It's been been both. There's definitely been a strategic effort in terms of community developers in the bigger neighborhoods of the city, trying to bring in people from other parts of the U.S. and across the world to work here. But they're more focusing on entrepreneurial endeavors, whereas the artists and other creatively minded activists who are moving here of their own volition are really coming to do community work and to not change the landscape, but to maybe work with the community and bring out whatever is best that's already there.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the musicians who has recently moved to Detroit, actually from New York, is Shara Warden.
Mm-hmm.
She is the lead singer and songwriter of a band called My Brightest Diamond.
Right, uh-huh.
And she's actually joining us on the line. Hi, Shara.
Hi, Shara. Hello.
Shara, you moved back to Detroit, where you're originally from, 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
And what made...
I was from a bit west in Ypsilanti. I went to high school in Ipsy, but yeah, so I feel new to Detroit still.
What made you decide to leave, you know, what is still a very vital new music scene in Brooklyn to go back to Detroit?
Yeah, well, for me, it was about trying to live sustainably as a musician, and I was able to get... I bought a house here, and I'm in a really neat community of urban gardeners, and just kind of wanted to have space to, you know, have a studio and stuff that, mm-hmm. you know, wasn't going to be available to me in Sunset Park.
Rebecca, sort of what Shara just said is sort of goes back to your what you were saying about a community, and not necessarily just of musicians, but organic gardeners.
Exactly.
I mean, there are many communities.
Right, and that's really, I think that the media has kind of turned its attention towards artists specifically for whatever reason, but I do think that what makes Detroit so amazing are a lot of the young activists and creative entrepreneurs and designers and artists and musicians and theater people. It's the whole package. It's not just the young folk either. It's really a multi-generational effort that everyone should be focusing on.
And Shara,
I really agree with that. I'm definitely finding that to be true among the people that are here. They're much more socially aware and very concerned about the community that they're moving into.
And Shara, has living in Detroit these past 2 years affected the way your songs now sound?
Yeah, absolutely.
How?
I have definitely more political awareness. I think I moved to Detroit in order to kind of put myself in an environment where I felt like I was, you know, like on the ground giving the eyewitness report. And, you know, I live in an intense neighborhood. I hear AK-47s frequently. I have, you know, a lot of people in my neighborhood that have been hurt. And, you know, to kind of have the New York lifestyle that I have, because I still play in New York very frequently, and then to also come back to a place that's dealing with really intense issues, you know, that definitely came out in the music.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Shara Warden. She is the band My Brightest Diamond, lead singer and songwriter, a new album coming out called All Things Will Unwind. We're also speaking with Rebecca Motse. She is currently the deputy director at the Museum of Contemporary Art in Detroit and formerly at the Detroit Metro Times. And Lindsay is joining us on the line, and she is calling in from Detroit. Hi, Lindsay.
Hello.
So you want to be a part of this conversation about the community of artists there in Detroit?
Well, really, what I called in to say is I think that there is a big misconception around the country about Detroit. I mean, yes, we have, you know, our economy has collapsed, and it is dangerous, but I'm an artist, and I travel frequently around the country, and every time I go somewhere, I just want to come home because the people here are phenomenal. The community is amazing. There's a lot of great art. Performance art, visual art, music. It's really a wonderful city, and there's a lot of opportunities here.
But Lindsay, are you a native Detroiter, or did you move there from somewhere else?
No, I've lived here my whole life. I grew up in the suburbs, and then I moved into the city as an adult, and I've worked in the city all over. I've lived downtown and on the east side, and it's a big, expansive land. It's about, I think, 144 square miles,
mm-hmm.
so there's a lot of room for artists if they want to move around. You can just buy up. I mean, you can buy a house for way cheaper than you can buy a car right now.
But we don't really want to advertise that either.
Well, now, you know, there is a Lindsay, thanks for the call. Rebecca, there is a downside potentially to artists moving into sort of low rent, low income neighborhoods, which is, you know, you begin to get this sense that gentrification is on the way and that people who have lived in a neighborhood for a while will eventually sort of be ushered out. We've seen that as part of the boom and bust cycle of neighborhoods over the years. Is there any sense that that there's been some backlash against creative types moving in?
Well, for starters, we need to make it clear that Detroit has always been a community of homeowners. So really, there is a really stable housing market there. Now, of course, we have had a lot of foreclosures and a lot of abandonment as a result of even way before the crisis, and that has left spaces open for people to come in, but you know, you don't get a ton of turnover because of that home ownership. And
right.
So there's not as much concern about the gentrification and about the, you know, the quick change or shift over from a neighborhood with one identity to the next. And then also, I do think it is really critical that people are very aware of the community that they're becoming a part of, and that this isn't any other city in any other state, and that that really whatever they should be doing, they should be very mindful and respectful of the culture that exists, because you are shifting it when you move into a community.
So while we do see this cycle of artists following cheap rent and the kind of evolution of neighborhoods, the cities are not interchangeable. New York is not Detroit, is
right.
not Berlin, etc. An important point to remember, and perhaps a good place to leave it. Rebecca Matze is former editor of the Detroit Metro Times and currently deputy director of the Museum of Contemporary Art Detroit, and Shara Warden, the band My Brightest Diamond, ex of New York, now living in Detroit. Shara, thank you for calling in today. Nice to speak
to
you again.
John.
And
thanks, Rebecca.
Rebecca, thank you for being with us today as well.
No problem.
This is Soundcheck. We'll be focusing on real estate again later this week, but just not the type we were talking about now. It's the Brooklyn-based band called Real Estate. They have a new album coming out, and they'll be playing for us live on Friday's Soundcheck. Coming next on today's program, Danish pop stars The Asteroids Galaxy Tour play live.